Happy Friday, and welcome to a new episode of This Week in Apps, a weekly no-fluff, data-first roundup of interesting news and trends about mobile apps and games. I'm Ariel from AppFigures, and I have five highlights for you this week. And we're going to start by talking about Microsoft. Microsoft wants to buy Discord, the chat service gamers love, for a record $10 billion. That's a big chunk of change for a messenger, don't you think? So, why so much? Looking at our revenue estimates, we can quickly see why. Revenue growth. In the last 2 years, since Discord turned on in-app payments, weekly revenue in the US grew from a few thousands to more than $1 million of net revenue. That added up to $19 million of net revenue in 2020. If Discord's revenue continues to grow at the same rate, which was close to 800% year over year, this number is going to be a fraction of total revenue in 2021. Bottom line is that this could be a massive payday for Discord, but even if Microsoft doesn't end up acquiring it, such revenue growth can easily lead to an IPO. Next up is Slack. Slack, the business messaging app that Salesforce recently acquired, is now letting anyone send direct messages to anyone if they know their email address. If I had to guess, I'd say this move targets the enterprise, where cross-company communication is usually a much bigger headache than it is in smaller companies and startups. Enterprise is also an area Salesforce knows very well. But is it already too late for Slack? I ask that because Slack competes with Microsoft Teams, and while the products look similar, Teams has the advantage of being available in the Office bundle. Let's look at downloads. In 2018, Slack's downloads outpaced Microsoft 3-1, but that all changed towards the end of 2019 when Teams started outpacing Slack 2-1. In 2020, thanks to a global shift to work from home, things changed drastically. We estimate that weekly downloads of Microsoft Teams hit a peak of 6 million downloads globally as the workforce shifted to working from home in March. Downloads stayed high ever since, and even though that astronomical number has gone down, it hasn't gone down by that much. A year in, Teams is still averaging 3 million downloads a week. Slack's 2020 wasn't as exciting. Downloads spiked right around the same time, but only to about 410,000, and only for a single week. They've gone back down right away, and now we're at an average of about 100,000. So that's an order of magnitude, even more than that. And that's a big difference. I think that Teams has been getting a lot of downloads in the last year, but we shouldn't discount Slack because it's not tiny. Is this change enough to keep those people who are using Slack from leaving and going to Teams? As a Slack user, I'd love to see real product improvements like better threads and more stable video chat. But that's just me. So I think they have some work to do. Overall, in my opinion, Slack needs to go back to its roots, which is product, to remain competitive. But we'll see how Salesforce handles this. I'm curious, which team are you on? And did you switch recently? I'd love to know. Next app is AppLovin. AppLovin is an ad network, and we don't normally talk about ad networks or service providers. We usually focus on apps. But this one is a little bit interesting, because in addition to its ad network, AppLovin also operates a game studio, and thanks to a recent acquisition of Adjust, they're also in the attribution business. So, kind of a trifecta that's not very common. According to our top SDK charts, AppLovin ranks 4th and 5th by installs across iOS and Android apps, respectively. While it's not a threat to Google, the category leader, it's getting very close to Facebook. That's something. Let's take a closer look at the numbers. There are currently 94,000 apps and games, mostly games, that monetize with AppLovin. Those include games from studios such as Halfbrick, Voodoo, Smule, Outfit7, and Gameloft. Kind of big. AppLovin's game studio, which is called Lion Studios, has released 267 games to the App Store and Google Play, including the number 3 most downloaded game in February, Girl Genius. Adjust Attribution SDK is installed in 23,000 apps and games, including PUBG, Crash Royale, Pokemon Go, and even Spotify. So that's also something. AppLovin's numbers are solid, and on the surface, it has a diversified portfolio. I say that because the game studio is largely supported by free ads running on AppLovin's network, and an ad network that's also operating an attribution network leads to questions about bias. But I don't think those should take away from the impressive ad network that AppLovin built. The thing is, when it comes to IPOs, ads and attribution aren't really as sexy to investors. And so AppLovin's IPO, whether it succeeds or fails, is going to be mostly about the numbers, the hard, cold numbers. I think they can pull it off, and I'm looking forward to seeing what would happen. And since we're talking about revenue, which seems to be the theme for this week, there's another interesting app that I came across. in the category of dating. Pandemic or not, people don't want to be alone, and dating apps have been the answer to not being alone for all of last year. 1UP in particular has seen pretty amazing revenue growth, and that's Plenty of Fish. Plenty of Fish, which is normally in any of the charts that we look at, has seen its revenue triple since 2019, and last week also reached a new all-time high of revenue. According to our estimates, weekly net revenue in the US, which started out as roughly $400,000 back in 2019, doubled to around $1 million last April when lockdown started, and then it doubled again last week when Plenty of Fish reached $1.5 million in net revenue. With this growth, Plenty of Fish eclipses Hinge, another dating app that has similar revenue but is usually slightly higher. While there's a long way to go before it can challenge category leader Tinder, 3x growth is pretty incredible. What I found even more interesting is that when you compare downloads to revenue, even though revenue tripled, downloads didn't. Downloads actually went down a little bit, which to me indicates that this revenue growth comes from existing free users being converted to paid users. And that's a really powerful move that has a lot of upside and potential. Lastly for this week is hopefully a positive note, and that's coming from Lyft, which I normally use for social as a proxy for social mobility and to see how things are opening up now that we're getting out of COVID. Last week, downloads hit a post-COVID all-time high with 341,000 downloads for the week globally. This number beats previous highs from New Year's Eve and also Valentine's Day, where they averaged about 270,000 downloads. So quite a bit more. If we look at pre-COVID downloads, we're still not there yet. Pre-COVID downloads were about 400,000 in that range, and we're looking at 340. So we're getting close, but we're not there. But between social places reopening, bars, restaurants, we're getting more capacity, more vaccinations, and the weather warming up, at least where I am, I expect this number to recover fairly quickly. And I think it will surge this summer as people are ready to leave their houses and apartments and go have fun. So that's good news for Lyft. And that's pretty much it for this week. If you enjoy these insights, please consider subscribing. We're available wherever you consume your podcasts. You can also read this as a newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. And that's it for me. Happy Friday.